We read in the Word of God in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. We are studying Luke's Gospel in our morning worship. The first six verses have already been touched on in an earlier passage in which Jesus points out that caring for human beings is more important than caring for animals. And then at verse 7, there are two very special sections dealing with the question of humility. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler who belonged to the Pharisees, the Pharisaic party, the Orthodox people of the day, they were watching him. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. His tissues were oedematous. They were holding water. And Jesus spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. They did not want to answer. And then he took the man and healed him and let him go. And Jesus said to them, "Which of you, having a son," or the alternative reading is an ass or an ox, "that has fallen into a well, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? Are beasts more important than men?" And they could not reply to this. And now he told a parable to those who were invited when he marked how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a marriage feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest a more eminent man than you be invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher,' and then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And a second section, this time addressed not to the guests, but to the host. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your kinsmen or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, but you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading from his word. To his name be honor and praise. The passage which we read this morning from Luke chapter 14 really divides very happily into two clear sections. In verses 7 to 11, you find a parable about guests who are invited to a feast. And that section ends with a general principle in verse 11, and the principle is that everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. In the second section, verses 12 to 14, you find words addressed to a host who throws a feast, and that section too ends with a general principle. In verse 14, Jesus says, if you're throwing a party and you invite guests like these, then you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And as you can see, the first of these two sections is about guests at a party, and the second section is about hosts. And what holds the two passages together is Christ's teaching on the need for humility and meekness, and on the necessity of burying our pride. If you are invited to be guest at a feast, says Jesus, then choose the lowly place, bury your pride, and do not assume that you are the most important person at the party. And if you are a host and throw a feast or a social evening, don't choose the people to whom you are most naturally attracted and with whom you have the most in common. Instead, invite the poor, the blind, and the crippled. Bury your pride and invite the nobodies to your party. And at first sight, what we appear to have here is two lessons on how to behave in certain situations. First section, if you are invited to a social occasion, this is how you should conduct yourself. In the second section, if you are playing the host for the evening, then these are the people you should invite to your party. Bury your pride and take the lowly seat. Bury your pride and invite the nobodies. And these are two lessons. And on this understanding of the passage, what we have here is simply excellent advice from Jesus on the issues of humility and meekness. Jesus says, if you are a guest at a social evening, don't be a snob or a social climber. Take the humble place and the lowly seat. And secondly, if you are host for the evening, then invite people who are of little or no importance to your party. We are being given excellent advice by Jesus. And if you take Christ's teaching here at that level of just being excellent advice, then what we have here is simply a complement to the secular and worldly teaching that there is on the subject of humility. quite apart from the Bible and religion. There is a great deal of teaching in the pagan and the secular world about pride and the need for humility. We hear it said, pride goes before a fall. And I heard it put this way a few years ago, that the peacocks of today are very often the feather dusters of tomorrow. And that's a risk that you run if you decide to become a peacock. One of these days, you will be transformed into all the dignity of a feather duster. And in fact, one of the in world's words in the secular world today is the word comeuppance. And comeuppance is the judgment of God that falls on human pride and on vanity and on peacocks. Comeuppance is the disaster that awaits those under the hand of God who exceed their station. If I can give you just two examples of that kind of secular worldly wisdom about the need for humility. First is the old story about the young divinity student who had been asked to preach in a large church, and he was conscious of the importance of the occasion and of his dignity. So he climbed the pulpit stairs in a rather self-conscious, pompous manner. But pride goes before a fall, and the service was a catastrophe. He got the words wrong. His sermon notes became mixed up. He got lost in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, and so on. And at the end of the service, he came down the steps, a rather shamefaced and a humbled young man. And in the vestry, he asked the church officer what on earth went wrong. And the church officer said, "Sonny, if you'd gone up the stairs as you come down, then you would have come down as you'd gone up." Pride goes before a fall, and the peacocks of today are the feather dusters of tomorrow. A second example from secular and worldly wisdom. A group of tourists were visiting Beethoven's house in Bonn, and they came to the room where the great man's piano stood. One of the tourists sat down and started playing the Moonlight Sonata, and the rest stood and listened. And when he'd finished, he rose and asked the guide, "I suppose you get many famous people visiting this place?" "Oh yes," said the guide. "We had Paderewski last year, the great concert pianist." "And did he play Beethoven's piano?" asked the tourist. "Oh no," said the guide. "He did not think that he was worthy." Pride goes before a fall, and it becomes us all to take the lowly seat. And it is possible to take our Lord's teaching at that level as something that is complementary to the wisdom of this world. However, there is something deeper here in what Jesus is saying, and something infinitely richer than excellent advice. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just excellent advice. It is good news. And good news is often far sweeter than excellent advice. And if you take Christ's teaching here, his words of counsel to the guests at a feast, and then his words of counsel to the host who's throwing a party, if you take Christ's teaching here and put it in its context, what you find is this. You notice that in verse 13, he speaks about the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. In verse 13, he says, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Now, the interesting thing is this, that if you move on to the next section in the chapter, at the 21st verse, you find these categories cropping up again. In verse 21, we read, the householder in his anger said to the servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the maimed and the blind and the lame. And in fact, the next section is about another kind of feast with other guests and another kind of host. And it is, in fact, the parable of the great feast thrown by God. It is the gospel feast. It is God's great salvation party. And if you put the teaching of today's passage in that context, it lifts up Christ's teaching into another and a different dimension. In fact, what you have here is kingdom teaching. And the guests are kingdom guests. And the host is the kingdom's host. And that being the case, this first section here, verses 7 to 11 about the guests and the need to choose the lowly seat, is in fact an illustration of how Jesus came to us. Jesus is the guest who chose the lowly seat and the humble place. He could well have seated himself at the top table because the place of honor and importance was always his. We sometimes sing in the hymn, the highest place that heaven affords is his by right. And the top of the table is his place. But he set that aside and he chose the lowly seat. And that self-humbling of Christ, that setting aside of his majesty and of his right to divine favors is something that stands at the very heart of the Christian gospel. It stands at the heart of the incarnation, the message of Bethlehem, Christ becoming man for us. He took the lowly seat. It stands at the heart of the atonement, the message of Calvary, Christ becoming sin for us. He set aside his majesty and chose the lowly place. You may recall that in his first letter, Peter says to the early Christians, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter chapter 5, although in fact he's quoting Proverbs 3 and 34. Clothe yourselves with humility. But the Greek really runs like this. Put on the apron of humility. And Peter has in mind the feet washing ceremony in the upper room when Christ girded himself with a towel and washed the disciples' feet. Put on the apron of humility. Nowadays, of course, we have refined the feet washing ceremony in the Maundy Thursday service when the Queen hands out the Maundy money and carries her nosegay. And we have turned the feet washing ceremony into a churchy, respectable affair, saturated with eau de cologne and the odor of sanctity. But the original feet washing ceremony was a scandal. Only the lowest menials washed feet. And here was the second person of the Trinity, girded with an apron, on his hands and knees, washing the disciples' feet. Put on the apron of humility. Gird yourselves with humility, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is how Jesus came amongst us. He is the guest who chose the lowly seat and the humble place. I once heard a very moving sermon on all the things that were borrowed by Christ in his lifetime. And if I recall aright, the sermon ran like this. He was born in a borrowed stable for you. He slept in borrowed beds, in borrowed rooms for you. He rode into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey for you. He was laid to rest in a borrowed grave for you. This is how Jesus came amongst us. It was for your sake and for your salvation that he chose the lowly seat. And if that is the message of the first section, that he is the guest who took that lowly place, then the message of the second section is that Jesus is also the host. And in verse 13, we read of the sort of people who are invited by Jesus to God's salvation party. In verse 13, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. I'd like to say this loud and clear. The message of the gospel is a word for those who are bankrupt. If you are not bankrupt, God has nothing to say to you. If you feel that you're fine the way you are, if you're satisfied and contented with your life the way it is, if you feel that you don't really need help from the outside, and that all in all you're doing pretty nicely, thank you very much, then, my friend, the gospel has no charms for you. The gospel is essentially a message for people who are bankrupt. One of the speakers at the Strathpeffer Convention spoke very finely this year about the three kinds of bankruptcy that Paul encountered when he went out into the Roman world to preach the gospel. And you find it in three chapters of Acts. In Acts chapter 17, Paul came to Athens. And Athens was the home of intellectual bankruptcy. The thinking of Greece was bankrupt. It had run into the sands. All the philosophy had run into the sands. Intellectual bankruptcy. In the next chapter, Acts chapter 18, Paul came to Corinth, and Corinth was the home of moral bankruptcy. Corinth was the sewer of the ancient world. The city was dominated by the Acrocorinthus, with the temple of Venus on the top, and it was a septic tank of wickedness. The moral bankruptcy of Corinth. In the next chapter, Acts chapter 19, Paul came to Ephesus, and the center of Ephesus was one of the seven wonders of the world, the temple of Aphrodite, Diana of the Ephesians, the great sex goddess of the ancient world. And that temple was a confession of the spiritual bankruptcy of that world. And you know, the world today is full of men and women who are intellectually, morally, and spiritually bankrupt. And in fact, the churches today are full of men and women who are intellectually, morally, and spiritually bankrupt. They are at the end of their tether. in their thinking, in their morals, and in their religion. And if you this morning are at the end of your tether, intellectually, morally, and spiritually bankrupt, the word of the gospel is for you. Go, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, the spiritually poor, the spiritually crippled, the spiritually hurtling, and the spiritually blind. These are the objects of God's love and care, and these are the guests invited by Jesus to the feast. And if that's where you stand this morning, poor, crippled, hurtling, and blind, Christ's invitation is for you. Let me tell you again the old story. It's got whiskers on it, but it's a good story. Of the man walking down a street in Glasgow last century. And he discovered a wee boy crying outside a door, sitting on the doorstep. And inside, through the window, there was a party going on. The party was being thrown by a mission for poor kids, cripple, hurtling, and blind. And outside, this wee boy was crying his heart out on the doorstep. And the man said, "Sonny, what's wrong?" And the boy said, "I can't get in." "You can't get in," said the man. "Why not?" The wee boy said, "I can't get in because there's nothing wrong with me." Well, of course, if we think there's nothing wrong with us, we deceive ourselves. We are all sinners. It is the mark of a sinner that he needs a Savior. But if you this morning are conscious that there is something wrong with you, if you are poor, crippled, hurtling, and blind, and if you are bankrupt intellectually, morally, and spiritually, then you are one of the guests, and Jesus invites you to the feast. Are you one of these? Behind the facade, behind the Sabbath face, and the Sabbath clothes, and the religion, are you one of these? Poor, cripple, hurtling, blind. Then Jesus invites you to the feast. And I wonder what your answer will be. Amen. May God bless the preaching of the word. To his name be honor and praise. Hymn number 478. We use the tune in the book, although it's not terribly well known. It's a bonny tune, a German tune. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see their God."